you're listening to Of Slights and Men with Benji and Jacob.
Well, hello and welcome back to Of Slights and Men. First of all, this is a little bit of a different way of recording for us. We're actually both just chilling in our office right now. We're hooked up to the mics that we use for filming YouTube videos, because this is going to be a different type of podcast. It's going to be a bit more casual. We're just going to share some cool stories from the past, I guess, last week. We'll get into what those stories are and what the topic is, but I should introduce the co-founder of The Daily Magician and not our guest, but my friend for the day. Benji,
how are you? For the day.
Yeah, just for today.
Just for the day.
For the length of the podcast. We'll see if we can make it till the end.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, I think this is going to be a good idea, having the mics like this. Mm-hmm. But I will admit, it's kind of awkward position. So I'm leaned back in my chair, mm-hmm. but now I'm sort of rigidly in position because I don't want my chair squeaking. And so it is sort of defeating the purpose. But you know what? Squeaks may be heard.
Yeah, warning.
If that's what it costs for comfort, you may hear some squeaks.
Yeah. So, the podcast, what are we going to be talking about today? Well, we just went down and filmed with Illusionist. It was for a project that we can't give too many details on because we don't know exactly what's going to happen with it. But we will say it did include us doing a lot of street magic and performing with G and Yannick. G is the... his name, we always mispronounce it, but Garrett Clark. Don't worry, he gets that from everyone. He always says that his name is a hard one to say, so everyone just calls him G. But yeah, we were there with G. Actually, Ben Holt was there for a little bit, but he wasn't at all to do with us. He was just happened to be there. Mm-hmm. And then we were there with I don't know Yannick's second name, actually, now that I think about it.
Bath,
okay. Yeah. And he's an incredible German magician who works with Illusionist as well. And also a shout out to Dwayne. Anyway, this is not really a shout out. I don't know where I am at this point. Basically, we went down.
Oscar.
Yeah. We went down with Illusionist, film a trailer. During that, we did a lot of street magic. We want to talk about some of those experiences and just kind of talk about the experience of performing. And we should disclaimer this, like we disclaimed the squeaks of the chair. It wasn't like we killed it. It wasn't, we're not, self-admittedly, we are not professional magicians. We work with a lot of world-class magicians. We're surrounded. We're in the milieu of magic. But when it comes to performing day in and day out, we just don't do that. We run a magic company. That's what we do day in and day out. And so this is the first time, well, ever that we've performed with like a professional crew filming us doing street magic, which to be honest is not actually what we thought we'd be doing when we went down. Well, we knew we'd be doing performances for, you know, random spectators and going into bars and clubs and that sort of thing. But the amount of magic we ended up doing on the street was actually surprising, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, like you said, I'm not embarrassed to admit. I think I can put myself out on a limb and say, I think I have good ideas. Mm-hmm. I think I come up with good methods and people find them interesting. Mm-hmm. But performing on the street, yeah, it's not my forte. Definitely not. Mm-hmm. I think it's a cool experience. I'd love to be as good at it as some of those other guys.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely, I will be the first to say that that is a very uncomfortable, unfamiliar environment when you first drop into it. Yeah, that is what it is.
Yeah. So that was
look at us now. We just sat leaning back in our armchairs, literally armchair experts talking about, it's so easy in this setting. It's so easy to sit back and kind of put on this air of wisdom. Well, you know, from those 2 days we spent in London. But honestly, just cast your mind back. You're in the street and it's raining.
Oh man.
You know,
do I want to cast my mind
hard,
back?
Cards are getting a little bit wet. And you know, you just feel like, well, what is going on? So I feel like we're already perhaps putting on airs.
Yeah.
But
yeah. Well, the one thing I will say that was really cool was just having a film crew. It was really cool to have pro magicians there, mm-hmm. making you feel sort of super comfortable, mm-hmm. helping you perform the trick correctly, helping you iterate it, that sort of mm-hmm. thing. That whole part of it was like, wow, that is really cool and unique. In terms of doing the actual street magic, to be honest, well, first of all, we didn't get that many occasions to do it, which is something that I wasn't expecting that much going in. I thought it would be kind of like 100 performances, pick the best one. Mm-hmm. But that was a bit naive.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it was raining.
Yeah.
There was some issues with that, with the weather.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, well, before we get into that, do we want to just give the listeners a quick little, I don't know, what they should expect? What are we actually going to talk about? Are we just going to talk about, I don't know, lessons learned, perhaps?
Yeah.
Some funny stories.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Yeah, just talk about, yeah, what it was like to do street magic, lessons we learned from being around top magicians that are very good at it. Yeah,
it's we're going to talk about what happens when you take two armchair experts and drop them
in the middle of London.
The streets of London
at 12 a.m.
and point 5,000-pound camera at them.
Yeah,
and say, "Damn, spooky."
Yeah. Spoilers. It's kind of what you expect.
Spoilers. Monkeys can't really dance.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess we start with like the first night. So we got there. We did the trick for Dwayne and Yannick. They liked it, and then Yannick was also there to film a few kind of. Him and G were also working on a trick, so he was also there to film a few performances. I don't know why that's such a tongue twister. Mm-hmm. And so he just started performing outside. We were at this bar. What was it called?
Brewdog.
We're at Brewdog, Waterloo. Maybe some of you will know that location. It's a really cool bar. It's got bowling and table tennis. Not that we actually ended up doing any of that, but it was a very cool location. It looks very cool, very vibey. Decent pizza as well.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Yannick started just doing some performances outside. That brought in a few people.
Mm-hmm.
And then he kind of transitioned for us to perform. I don't know if I'm going to do like a... I'm kind of starting this out like it's going to be like a shot by shot. Like it's almost like my diary.
Giving us the play by play.
Yeah. Now that I think about it, it's going to be like very boring if I do it that way. But maybe we should just get into how performing felt the first day.
Commentator.
Yeah.
I picked up the card, and then I had them pick a card, and I was going to try and force a card, but I missed it. So instead, I had them pick... Anyway.
Yeah. No, you're right. It is a little... I realize now that I'm pretty much like... It's almost like I'm speaking to my mom. I'm trying to give her like, oh, here's exactly what happened every second every day.
Yeah. Well, okay. Let's think. I think we can either talk about this in terms of stories or about talk about it in terms of principles. I don't know where you want to start. If you want to start with sort of some overall lessons learned, and then maybe that'll sort of trigger some.
Yeah, I guess now that the scene's set, so that you guys have an idea of where we were, kind of what the vibe was, just kind of the environment that we were in. Now that the scene's set, I can move more into just kind of what it was like from that point forward. So yeah, I think the first lesson learned was... Well, this is kind of the biggest takeaway I took from everything, which is weird because the way we built it up, this is going to seem almost like disingenuous, but I realized like magic is actually so much easier to perform than I thought it was. Mm. Like I thought magic was so like, and don't get me wrong, it is hard to be a great performer, but when it came to the actual effects and performing for people, I realized this, you have so much expectation as a magician.
Mm-hmm.
Where you're like, I don't know, you're like, man, like, let me just do like these tenfold shuffles. And then like, also I need to do this so that like people know that it's actually like, I'm going to flick the card. So then they know it's not like a double lift.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to perform this insane 7 pharaoh sequence. Mm-hmm. And that way this trick will actually be fooling. All that stuff is like, just kind of dumb when you're like, you actually get down to performing for an actual spectator. It's so like, I think I was like, something I definitely did wrong, which is like, I was like overthinking so hard. Where like, when it got later into like the next few days and I just performed like a card to mouth, like an ambitious card to mouth routine to start, like they really enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. And I could have been so much more relaxed from start to finish because like, it's just such a different experience. I think when we're like caught in this like trap of like making magic for magicians a lot of the time, which we are, and like, cool.
You're overproven
at every step, where like the spectator just wants to see something cool.
Yeah, well, I think the tricky part about that is everything you just said wouldn't actually necessarily be a bad idea to do if you were performing for a magician.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Okay, maybe it's a bit of overkill, but at the same time, I think doing those things for a magician audience, it actually can make the trick more full. And so we fall into that trap, and then you forget to sort of switch that part of your brain off. It reminds me, I think Yannick and Dwayne, first night, they were talking about how, yeah, great, there's this, you know, shuffle sequence, cut sequence, lovely, it's lovely.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, most people, if you just take cards, you give them a single cut, and you say, okay, now that the cards have been cut, any way I could know where your card is, people will just be like, yeah, there's no way, cards are cut.
Yeah.
You don't need to do this whole sort of triple cut, shuffle sequence.
Yeah.
I think, is that sort of getting at a similar point to what you were
saying? Yeah. And it's like, it's not to say those things are like, because full shuffles are very useful as convincers. And obviously, having the spectators being able to shuffle the deck is like a good thing.
And I think also it's partly colored by, you know, when you're filming something.
Yeah.
That also changes it, where you think, okay, well, how do I reduce dead time?
Yeah.
Which, if you weren't filming, might not be as important.
Yeah. I think it's like, I think what I realize is like, all those things are great, but it's like, pick which one is most important,
mm-hmm.
you know? Or it's like, instead of doing all the convincers, pick mm-hmm. the one that's going to like have the most effect on the spectator, mm-hmm. you know? Like, have them shuffle the cards or mm-hmm. do a false shuffle. I mean, but you, like, you don't need like all of them, I guess, you know? It just made me realize, like, I don't know, it just made me realize how much more open lay people are to magic than I kind of
mm-hmm.
got trapped in my head and thinking they were.
Yeah.
Where I kind of put, I assumed the magician's position for mm-hmm. them, where they're not in that mindset at all.
Yeah. 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 No, it's a good takeaway. Good takeaway.
I definitely won't be scared to perform magic again going forward. Like, even yesterday, our taxi driver
mm-hmm.
was like taking us back, and he was like, well, I was just telling him that I'd been in London, whatever. I don't know how he got to it, but he's like, oh, can I see magic? And I was like, just like, man, I felt so relaxed to do it after like the big cameras pointing at me in the pouring rain in mm-hmm. London with like 10 people watching and like the CEO of Illusionist over your shoulder. It's mm-hmm. like, oh man. And I was like, yeah, sure, bro. Like, no stress, yeah. you know?
After all, why not perform?
You can't to mouth. Yeah, seriously, that's my main takeaway.
Stupid meme. It's probably not even worth getting to describing the meme. If you know, you know, I guess.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, I think that's a good takeaway. I have takeaways too. I have quite a few takeaways. So we can just kind of go through them, keep them rolling. This is in no particular order, but, and a lot of this is going to sound quite obvious. A lot of it probably is quite obvious.
Mm-hmm.
But I think for me, the biggest insight I had over the time that we were there, the biggest moment where I was like, oh, wow, that is a revelation. Why have I not thought about it that way before?
Mm-hmm.
Is there's something Yannick said to me, which is, you know, when you're performing, it was along these lines, word for word, but basically when you're performing for people, don't forget that you're performing for people. And so there's a tendency often to just come in and just immediately be like, all right, who wants to shuffle? Who wants to pick a card? And just get into the trick. But the value of just taking a few minutes before you start, of just sitting down and saying, hey, I know this is weird. This is, I'm a stranger. You don't know me. I'm just coming over here to do card tricks. But is it okay if I just get to know your guys' names first? I'd like to know, you know, who I'm performing for. Yeah, what's your name? Oh, look, we're here, you guys together, you worked together maybe. And just spending a few minutes getting to know people, just, you know, treating them like normal people, because they are normal people.
Yeah.
And just spending those minutes or that time, that initial investment to build that rapport and build a relationship, I think it's just so valuable, because it's so much easier, I think, to perform for friends than it is for strangers. At least for me, and I think probably for most people, because you get to the point where you're on the same side. It's not you, some stranger come in, interrupting them. They're in the middle of a conversation. They want to get back on with their thing. And you're sort of under, what's the word? You need to prove yourself. You need to prove that your magic is worth the interruption. And so there's this pressure on it. It's like, okay, well, is it going to be worth it? But if you spend that time, you build up a friendship, build a rapport, suddenly it's like, oh yeah, you know, let's see a card trick. And we're all rooting for you here.
Yeah.
And they're going to help you out, and they're going to laugh at your jokes more, and they're going to interact better. Well, also you're just going to find it more satisfying because you're not just going to be performing for strangers. You're going to be performing for people that you built a bit of a relationship with. And then also if the trick then goes wrong or doesn't quite go the way you want, you don't walk away from that with nothing. If all you'd done was go up and do a card trick, when you walk away, then all that happened in that interaction is you just did a card trick and, you know, you forgot your key card or something. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you actually have had a good conversation, you've had that social spark, when you walk away, that day has been made better, hopefully, regardless of whether or not the trick worked. And rather than just being someone that did card tricks, you're just, oh, someone we met who also happened to do card tricks. And that sounds like the same thing, but I think it's quite a big difference. And so just shifting the perspective that way and focusing on building rapport with people before and after performing was honestly, yeah, a massive takeaway for me. Something that as soon as I started trying to do a better job of that, I immediately felt the effects, immediately more relaxed. And I just felt that rapport was so much greater.
Mm.
You agree?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I think it's just like life in general, really. Just like people love connecting with people.
Yeah.
And in magic, you have a great opportunity to connect with people in a way that they really enjoy. So use that occasion
mm-hmm.
and relax into it.
Yeah. I think if I was to tomorrow go and do street magic again in London, my goal would be, okay, this evening, I want to make some really cool connections with some really cool people.
Yeah.
Oh, and hopefully I do some magic in and amongst doing that.
Yeah.
Rather than my goal being, oh, I want to do some cool magic and impress people. Because I think if you just go in with the goal of like, I just want to meet some cool people, make some new friends, have some interesting conversations, you know, build some interesting relationships. But then magic is sort of like coming up as you do that, because obviously it's, you know, people asking, well, what are you doing here? You know, why are you here? It's just going to come up. And I think that, I don't know, what do you think? You think that would be a
100%. Yeah, 100%. I think I was just thinking about when you were saying it, like, definitely tell that was like the attitude that Yannick and G had, because they was like chatting to people, being super casual, it's like really enjoying themselves, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas we were a lot more like tense. We were a lot more like, well, when are we gonna have to do, like,
yeah,
when are we doing the next trick for it, you know? But if we'd had that more like casual, mm-hmm. I was out with the boys having a good night.
Mm-hmm. Maybe we'll do some magic
because, like, we're magicians. It would have been a lot different, probably more enjoyable for the filming team too.
Yeah, for sure. Because that was interesting. I think we noticed that was that, for example, after Gio Yang, somebody did a trick, part of me was expecting as soon as they were done, we'd be like, all right, let's move on, like, on to the next trick.
Yeah.
Let's just, you know, knock these filming sections out.
Yeah.
But often, trick would finish, cards would go away, and then, you know, 15, 20 minutes later, we'd still be there just talking to the same people. And I think that also made those people feel more valued, because it wasn't just like, they didn't feel, oh, these people just came up to me to, like, show me a card trick and get my reaction on camera. It was like, no, they just, I guess, wanted to, you know, come socialize, and card trick was almost just, you know, something that happened, but it wasn't the defining moment of the interaction.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a big moment of it, and definitely something that people remember, but I just think staying,
Yeah, it's a weird one. It's like, it's kind of annoying that we have to reflect on all these lessons now,
because
it would have been so helpful in the moment. But that's the thing with, like, any performance art, is like, it's a performance art, so you're not going to get better at it unless you put yourself in those situations consistently.
Yeah.
And the annoying thing is, like, I mean, we just don't do street magic. Like, you know, like, the last time I did street magic, I was like 16, going around, like, as you'll see from our very first podcast, I do scroll back, harassing grandmas, trying to show them David Blaine tricks.
Yeah.
So it's just like, it's annoying when we're putting in these words, because I'm like, wow, yeah, that's a great way of thinking about it. But, like, in the moment, I was like so freaking stressed. Like, the cameras are on. I was like, man, I hope I don't mess up. Like, they're judging me as well. Like, everyone that's filming me is judging me. These guys are judging me. And obviously, like, that's not going to make the spectators comfortable either.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, that's going to make you, like, naturally standoffish when you feel like they're judging you.
Mm-hmm.
when they're not, mm-hmm. it doesn't even make sense. Yeah. Like, they're just trying to have a good night out.
Yeah.
You're trying to have a good night out.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like,
yeah,
1 + 1 should equal 2.
Right. We all have the same goal. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's like we're all on the same team, yeah. which is like out trying to have a good time.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah.
No, I mean, well, like you said, it's just putting the reps in.
Yeah.
It is what it is. You just got to do it to know how to do it.
Yeah.
And all this being said, it's easy for us to sort of philosophize this right here, but I bet if we were suddenly dropped back in that scenario, it'd be like,
I want to be better.
But yeah. We definitely would still be.
We still wouldn't be Gio or,
yeah.
or Yannick.
Not by a long shot. Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, I think reps and experience is such a key thing. It reminds me of a quote I saw, I think it was yesterday, by a guy called Alex Hormozi.
Oh, do you know who that is?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I've seen a lot of his stuff around lately. He's on a bit of a content grind, I think.
Mm.
Anyway, he said this thing, it was just two sentences. No, it was just one sentence, I think. Okay, I don't know. It has a colon in it, so...
Doesn't matter. Just read the quote.
Yeah, I'm just curious. Like, is that two sentences or is that one sentence?
Looks like two, I guess.
Because this one has like a capital letter. But can you end a sentence with a colon?
I don't think so.
Maybe it.
I don't know.
Well, we'll let you decide.
The big questions on the slides of me.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the quote is this: how to become confident in any skill? Colon. How to become confident in any skill. Do it so many times, you get bored of doing it.
Hmm.
So it's interesting. Alex Hormozi is not a magician, not that I know of. But as soon as I read that quote, I instantly thought about magic and just how true that is.
Yeah.
And okay, something to point out, I want to make sure this is clear, is I'm not saying the goal is to be bored while doing, you know, performing or street magic. But I think you want to be bored, not bored, but almost bored doing like the method, like in terms of just the raw slides.
Yeah.
Like, okay, well, I'm going to do this, then I'm going to do a double lift, I'm going to do this. That aspect of it, you've done so many times. Like, the confidence comes from doing something so many times. You can do it in your sleep. You're just like, it's boring to you to like, okay, I'm going to practice this move again, you know, or I'm going to do this move again. But what makes it interesting is obviously, you know, the people,
yeah,
and the interaction and the relationality, the relationship with the audience. But in terms of the actual what you're doing and the mechanics, I think that is just such a cool way of looking at it. And it is true, you know.
Yeah.
That's the best way to build confidence, is just to do something so many times that it's just like, you know, just...
Yeah, it's natural. And that is actually what allows you to enjoy the trick.
Mm-hmm.
Because then when you're doing the trick, you're not focused on the trick, you're focused on the spectators, focused on how you're making them feel. And you can definitely, you can just see that in top performers. Like when I think over it, it's like at no point do they seem to care about the method
mm-hmm.
at all.
Yeah.
You know, like they're with the spectator, they're with the person, they're performing, mm-hmm. they're not worried about doing the trick, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that's what you notice when you do stuff that you
have done for like 10 years.
Versus
what
you haven't. And it is tough because like, well, how do you get familiar with it?
Yeah.
Except from doing it. So like that first period, you can't really skip, you know? Mm-hmm. If you want to get to that point, you still have to go through that initial period, but it's just useful to bear that in mind. And yeah, what it reminds me, it was a kind of an embarrassing story, but don't worry, there'll be plenty more of those to come. One time, I think I was performing and it wasn't like that complicated of an effect, but it was just like a different structure. It was my first time doing it. I think it might be my first time doing it in this structure. And so I was quite thinking about, okay, well, this is going to happen. And then I got to be ready to do this and this and this. So I started out by having some shuffle. And I was like, okay, well, once you give some back, I got to get ready to do this and then this. And then you give them back and I did it, et cetera, et cetera. And the trick worked. After the trick, I think it was Yannick that pulled me aside and, you were there. And he was like,
mm-hmm.
he was like, so I don't even notice this, but while that guy was shuffling, one of these other guys was like, I don't know if he was like trying to make a joke, tell me something, or he was interacting, or he was interacting with me, but I just was completely zoned in on like, all right, once these cards come back in my hand, I got to be ready. And just looking at the cards, just burning, which is so ridiculous, as Yannick pointed out, because like, the cards are going to, I don't need to supervise the spectator shuffling the cards. Like, that's just, he's shuffling. Like, it's fine. Like, you know, we're here for the interaction. Like, we're going to shuffle. Like, that's not the most important thing here. The most important thing is, you know, what's going on here? What are we talking about, et cetera, et cetera. And so looking back, I was like, oh, yeah, just totally didn't clock that. It just flew right by me because I was too focused on that. Whereas on the other hand, as we're saying here, if you've done it so many times, you're bored of doing it, it's so much easier to just be present.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, yeah, I mean, I've got nothing really more to add. Yeah. Make sure you can do the trick so then you can focus on the performance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or like I was saying, well, what if it's like, no, I think this is a good trick. I just like, how do I get to the point? You know, maybe I have like four tricks where I'm already at that point, but that comes from having done it for like four or 5 years and already putting those reps in. And so if it's a new thing, you do just have to put the reps in, but like, it's still useful to kind of know this. And obviously practice that much you can at home to sort of build up that as much as you can, but obviously.
And introduce it, I guess, into casual settings as well, where you don't have to stress about it. Mm-hmm. But like, it's like something that a lot of magicians do. They'll just like introduce new tricks and settings where like they feel like they can experiment. Yeah. Or maybe they've done like, they know they're going to perform a great show, mm-hmm. both sides of that trick.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't really matter if it flops around the middle or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
I briefly interrupt this podcast to give a quick shout out to our newsletter. If you go to www.dailymagician.com/books, you'll be able to claim 24 magic books for free, as well as sign up for our daily newsletter. In this newsletter, we share tons of incredible content, just like this podcast, as well as providing you with amazing exclusive offers from fantastic magicians. That's www.thedailymagician.com/books.
Well, I think this principle goes hand in hand with something else we were talking about, which is there's a lot of tricks that we don't perform. And I don't know if this is the same for you, but I think for me, sometimes I feel like I've seen them so many times that I'm just sort of a little bored of the plot.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, 2-card Monte. Yeah, maybe that's not the best example because I haven't done that one a ton. I guess just Ambitious Card is a classic example. Like, we've done it so many times that, like, subconsciously, sometimes we just don't do it because it's like, well, we can do something new, you know? Like, how about this? How about this? But we forget that for each spectator, like, they've never seen it before.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if it's a good trick, if it's universally just, like, a really good trick, you don't lose anything by doing it again and again and again to different groups of people. Because for them, it's still the first time they're seeing it.
Yeah.
And so sometimes I think there's a certain resistance subconsciously, because I don't think I ever thought about it that way, to doing that, because maybe there's a bit of like, oh, I've just seen it so many times. But that's probably a good sign, or seen it or done it so many times, and that's probably a good sign that it is a great thing to do, because that means you are going to be able to tap into that confidence.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just thinking maybe I should break up the magic lessons with just like a stupid funny story.
Yeah, go for it.
This is probably probably the biggest fail of the whole thing, to be honest. And it was,
I don't know, I got one.
Yeah, actually that one is pretty good too, yeah. But this one, man, basically the trick that I'm performing means that the spectators have to drop the cards, but it just doesn't, I don't know, let's just say, like, it doesn't really work unless it's the right surface.
Unless they're dropping it onto a surface.
Yeah, unless they're dropping it onto like a surface, like any, some sort of surface. But we were in the street, and it was the first time I'd done it in the street, and I was like, well, you know what? Like, if it hits, it would be so sick.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd already hit like one trick, and I was just kind of feeling like, oh, you know what? Like, throw away, see what happens, you know? So I'm like, all right, drop the cards on the floor. And it's just like brand new deck of pretty nice looking playing cards, and the spectator drops the cards, they hit the floor, and they literally just flew freaking everywhere. Like, it literally just exploded, like, and the deck just went absolutely everywhere, like into the dirt everywhere. And of course, like, it didn't even get close to his card, like, completely failed. It was awful.
Well, and we were on a fairly narrow pavement. And there was a lot of people, so it was like kind of like under some people's, not under their feet, but like,
you know, I think one of them went down a drain. Like, yeah, the other one like Yeah, the other ones were just lost to the street. I don't know, man. It was...
Yeah, kind of like, oh, sorry. It's your ankle. Let me just...
But yeah, I felt kind of bad as well because the spectator just... He didn't like... He felt so guilty for like dropping... Mm-hmm. Like, because obviously like he dropped the cards.
Yeah.
So... Because of him, they'd flown everywhere into London. The deck was just completely ruined. Well, obviously, like, I didn't blame him, but now thinking back on it, like, now I actually see why he felt so bad. Because to be fair, like, it wasn't his fault.
Yeah,
like, I told him to do it, but he definitely felt bad. But yeah, man, that was just a massive L. But I was like, you know what? Like, I'm just going to go for him. It was terrible. Oh, that was probably the lowest point.
It reminds me, so before we were talking to Danny Goldsmith. This is probably a good segue into this.
Yeah.
And he was giving us his sort of like, he's very good at...
He's a professional performer.
He's a professional performer, and he's just very good at like being very calm about these things. Like, let's think about this. You know,
let's philosophize it a little bit.
Yeah, you guys are stressed. You're nervous. let's break this down. Like, what are you actually scared of? And at the time you were like, maybe it's like
that.
just like public humiliation. He was like, but like, just imagine like the worst that could happen. and obviously, like, within the context of like doing a magic trick, etc. But so we're saying like all this sort of like stuff, and the point of it is supposed to be like it's well intentioned, and like I see the value of it, and it's something I've seen like Tim Ferriss talk about. It's like fear setting, where he just talks about like, just think about sometimes when you're thinking about doing something, I'm scared, you know, what if this happens? You just let yourself play that out and say, what if that does happen? Like, okay, what if I do just mess up this trick and everybody's watching and it's like totally embarrassing? Like, what if that does happen? Well, I mean, I guess it'll just happen and then we'll just go do the next one, you know?
Yeah.
So it kind of, you put higher stakes on it, and because in your head, the sort of the stress you associate with the possibility of that happening is so high that it feels like that happens. I was like, well, so what? Like, why are some cards going to fall? Like, the really matter? But it's just funny because then we'd had that conversation. Danny is quite easy in the moment of like talking about it. What is the worst that can happen? but then it was so funny when then we were in that moment, or like shortly afterwards, where we just kept like saying, like putting our minds back and being like, we could just hear Danny's voice in that head. Like, that could happen. It's just like
the cards exploding everywhere.
Just cards going everywhere. We're just on the ground.
The spectator feels really bad. He's like, Rick, I'm so sorry.
And Danny's voice in our head. Yeah. But no, just so sort of put my own, well, I guess we'll see which one sounds worse when you say them this way. But I think the funniest moment for me of like kind of what we're talking about here, this public humiliation, was so, again, without going too much into the details of the trick, there's a trick where I ended up like kicking the cards, something magical happens after that. But because I end up doing that, there's kind of I thought it was like a little bit of a funny bit. If I just take, I don't know, 10, 20 paces back and I sort of do a little bit of a stretch, bit of a warm up, maybe like jump on the spot, you know, get limber, and then do a nice run up to the cards, kind of get some real speed going. And then I kick them and the magic happens. And so one time I was prepared for this, and it was like the street and it was people. Well, because it was like an outside bar, I guess. So there was like tables. So the people, it was a couple of girls, and they were on a table near the end. And so in my run up, my walking back, I was also passing other people. And so people were kind of like, what's going on? They're watching. And then obviously, because I was doing such like theatrical warm ups, everyone was watching. And so then I was like, oh, nice. You know? So then I set off and I'm running and running. And then I just like tripped over my feet. I didn't even mess up. Like, I mean, yes, technically, I guess, yes, that is me messing up the trick. Like, I'm guilty as charged. But, like, it wasn't that the method broke. It was just like, kind of tripped on my feet.
It's like you tripped over as you're about to reveal their card and drop the deck.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's like, obviously, not what that's a different example, but like the same thing. It's like, it wasn't that I didn't control their cards at the top. It's just that I like fumbled the cards and they all fell. So it's like, I mean, I did mess it up, but like, you know, it was just like pure clumsiness. It wasn't really like anything else. But yeah, so I just did that. And then like, you know, just tripped my feet in front of everyone. And then I was like, oh, maybe I'll try again. But I think by that point I'd done, by the time I was doing it again, I'd, because of what had happened, I'd somehow wasn't in a position to do the trick, but I didn't know. And so I was just like, oh, maybe, you know, so I did it again, didn't work. It's just, you know, same feeling as you. I'm just like on the ground. Now the cards are everywhere because I've like kicked them, you know, to try to like, pick them up.
Oh, the pain.
What about something else?
Yeah.
Maybe a different trick. So, yeah, I don't know. That was pretty bad too.
Yeah. I will say the satisfaction of hitting them when they did hit was really high though.
Yeah.
I can see how people get hooked on performing, especially street performing, because it is so, I don't know, there's just something about, I walked up to a random person on the street, asked them to see a magic trick. They were like, okay, blew their mind. It's such a satisfying feeling. Yeah. And you feel like you're really giving them like something to remember about the night out.
Yeah.
It's a nice feeling.
Yeah. Well, I will say, like we were talking about how it was a very, we had ended it in quite a satisfying way where obviously we'd had our fair share of problems over the days, the earlier takes and such. But then the second day, I think we were sort of just about done in the night. It was raining, it's late. Everyone was a bit
done, like, to be honest.
Be done, you know, like, let's just be done. People had flights to catch in the morning, all that. But we still had like a couple, well, yeah, we mainly had just one thing we still needed to film. And so we went to this bar, we managed to find, you know, some people who wanted to see it. And so I was in a position where I was going to be the one doing it. But I also had all these sort of like undercurrents of knowing that everybody sort of wanted to be done. But also the thing that I was about to do was one that I was quite nervous to do, because as at least compared to some of the other stuff we'd been practicing, it was significantly harder, or at least when we were practicing it, it was. So even though I felt like I had the method down, it was still a little, we'll see. And so obviously then, and then there's just the normal pressure, you know, cameras out, filming, people there, mic'd up, all that. But I think really what was, it's making me, my palms a little sweaty just thinking back about it, because what was so stressful was that I didn't do the trick we were trying to film first. We did like a different one, like a warm-up thing, like an ambitious card. And it went well, right? It was an ambitious card, like we were talking about. It was just an easier thing to do. I sort of knew what I was doing. I was confident with it. Or at least I felt that way. And so it went well, and the reactions were good enough that then, like, by the time it came to doing the trick that we were there to film, there was now more people watching. People sort of like, a lot of people had come over, and I saw some other guy, like, obviously we were filming, but then I see some other guy like whip his phone out and he's filming, and he even filmed the whole thing where he was there, and you know, people were just coming over, and I was like, oh no, like I'm a victim of my own success. Yeah. You know, I'm saying I like, blew it out of the park, the ambitious car, but it was good enough that now like there was even more people watching. I was like,
yeah,
I've done the thing that we're here to do. And I'm like, you know, in the back of my head, I've also got the memories of like, oh, it did kind of suck when we messed it up those other times.
Yeah.
That'd be cool. Like, I didn't even know what I was going to do at that point. I was like, I guess if it messes up, it messes up. Like, I'll find some out or something.
Also, the pub was about to close in 10 minutes. I don't know if you knew that either.
Oh, yeah. Well, I didn't know that at the time. Yeah. But
like, literally, after you did that trick, they were like, get out.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. That's true.
Yeah.
Well, none of us, like, I would have felt so bad if it had gone wrong and then we were
had
to keep filming and everyone wanted to go to bed. So there's just all that, like,
Man.
Emotional undercurrents. So then the feeling. Oh, and this one, don't try to say what the effect was. Or just, no.
Nah,
we'll leave it.
Yeah.
It'll come out, hopefully come out at some point. But yeah, and then when I did it, like, works pretty much as well as I could have asked for.
So
that's how I felt at the time. And then not only that, but like they loved it.
Yeah.
They loved it. They were just like, you know, the audience was loving it. Like it hit.
Yeah.
The amount of like euphoria was just like, you know, it was just so satisfying, I think.
Yeah.
So satisfying because of like some of the previous lows. So it, like you were saying, anyway, it's a long build up and a long story for me to just agree with you that the lows being low did help the highs.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. pretty memorable on the whole.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, overall, the trip was just a lot of fun. It was really fun to see people that are so good at street performing do their thing. It was a lot of fun to hang out with top magicians, also illusionists, just great hosts, made us feel very welcome. Took us to a little jazz club, which was fun. The filming location was incredible. Middle of Covent Garden, beautiful penthouse apartment. It was just very unique experience and definitely not one I ever expected to have when we started the business 4 years ago. So for the ups and downs that it was, I definitely would not like take it back. It's
one of those where you feel like your life has been enriched.
Yeah.
Doing it.
Yeah.
Sort of walk away thinking,
I'll remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, I'm somehow more.
Yeah. Like, I don't remember much of what happened last month, but like, I know I'll remember this for the rest of my life.
Well, and I'm sure plenty of other people will too, for various reasons.
They won't be able to get it out of their brains. Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. We might have missed a couple of tips, but I think that's more or less it.
That's good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
if you want to get all the tips, like we are running this week in our email series, we're writing about this. So make sure you're on the email list if you're not, or if you're listening to this sort of after the fact and the emails have already ran, there will be like a PDF summary. Maybe we can get that.
Oh, maybe. Best place to just go to our email list. You can get 24 magic books for free when you sign up at thedailymagician.com/books. Yeah, we'll be sharing a lot more stuff like this.
In Magic Mastery.
Yeah, if you're in Magic Mastery, you can go to our archive.
Find that summary.
Yeah. And also watch out because we're running a pretty cool offer this week. If you're listening to this in the week of the podcast, we're running a really fun little offer. So yeah, watch out. Have a look at your emails. Watch out for that offer because it's something we're pretty hyped off the back of the trip. Mostly that it's over because it was just something that we were so stressed to do and we're really happy that, you know, it went the way that it did. But yeah, we're running a little sale based upon that. So yeah, make sure you watch your emails for that. Go check out Illusionist's work. Mm-hmm. Really showed us how good they are, how much they know the magic niche, how good their projects are. So definitely go check out their website, support their work.
Yeah, well, there was that trick. I think one of my favorite things watching other people perform was the James Brown trick, Ultimate Card to Box.
Yeah.
You can get that on Illusionist. Seeing that in person was like, wow.
Yeah.
That's something that happened quite a lot. I won't take too long saying this, but they made a point to start, well, if we were filming or trying to get a take of something where it was important to get a take, I don't know what I'm saying, but if we were trying to like do a certain trick, film a certain trick, often they would start by doing like a warm-up trick to kind of gauge the reaction and then like,
yeah,
you know, double down or say like, maybe it's this group doesn't seem too interested, maybe they'd rather we'd all moved on, do this with someone else. But one of the warm-up tricks, I guess it was a warm-up trick, was the Ultimate Card Box by James Brown.
Yeah,
honestly, that was, yeah, so good. That was, I had not seen that in person before and it, yeah, it blew me away. So that was really good.
Yeah, also recommend G and Dwayne Williams' Single-Handed. Brilliant trick as well. So good to see that in person. Hear a lot of the nuances that went behind it. Yeah, just they're really good working routines that work very well in person. So yeah. Okay, well, all that being said, we'll see you in the next podcast. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll catch you around.
Ciao.